Good morning. You're listening to PSA Today, a community forum for public affairs hosted by Jessica Levity for Wilkes Broadcast Group in Reno. The purpose of this 30-minute show is to give a platform to our local community builders and to promote public service. So sit back, relax, and learn what your fellow citizens are up to.
Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. On today's show, back from Reno Free Thinkers, I have the president, Richard Evans. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Jessica.
And tell me who you brought with you today.
Well, I brought today with me Dr. Bernard Drum from the University of Reno Medical Department.
Yeah, the University of Nevada, Reno School of Medicine, the Department of Physiology and Cell Biology.
And tell me why you are here. I'm so interested.
Richard?
Yeah, we, for the past 7 years since the 150th anniversary of Charles Darwin's birthday, we've been celebrating his birthday on or around the 12th of February, calling it Darwin Day. And it's basically a celebration of sciences with evolution pretty much at the forefront.
Awesome. And why are you here, Dr. Bernard?
Well, obviously, I have a personal and professional interest in Darwin Day. As a physiologist, a biologist, I think scientific education to the public is incredibly important, which is what we try to do on Reno Darwin Day, because what Charles Darwin did was he completely shifted the way people think about life on Earth, why we're here, how did we get here, why do we look like a bit like our parents, how related are we to other animals. And so it's an amazing thing to teach the general public these fascinating concepts, because the more scientific literacy we have in the American public, the better scientific progress we're going to have in 20, 30, 50 years. So that's why events like Darwin Day are so important.
Amen to that. So, Richard, talk about the way Free Thinkers plays a role in this and what people can expect.
Well, Free Thinkers is basically we're very, one will be very science oriented. I think that getting this type of information out into the public, like Ben was telling, is really important in that it, you know, it teaches us how we got here. And Free Thinkers is basically a group that tries to think things through logically, and we get a lot of pushback on this topic of evolution. So I think by getting it out in the public realm, it presents it in a way that says, you know, this, in fact, is not what most people call a theory, but it's actually a fact. Just because it's called the theory of evolution in science, theory means a whole nother thing. And we're trying to get that out into the public.
Okay. So what can people expect at this day? How do we get involved? What's the event look like? Who should come?
Well, if I can just jump in for a minute. So what we're doing is we're having a whole day of events at the Discovery Museum on Sunday, February 21st. It's from 12 to 5. And we've organized it as a series of talks. And it starts out very, very general. We have a range of speakers. Some are from the general public. Some, like myself, are from University of Nevada, Reno. So what people can expect is a very broad educational day with some fun activities mixed in. So we're having some talks about Charles Darwin's life. We're having some talks about evolution and the scientific process, how that works, why it works so well, why evolution is a good scientific theory as opposed to a bad one. We're going to have some really cool talks about the evolution of morality. So coming in from a psychological viewpoint. So even if you're not interested in biology, if you're just interested in the human condition, how people interact, there's going to be an aspect with that. There's going to be a professor of physics from UNR. He's going to talk about the evolution of the universe and the Big Bang. So this isn't just for people who are interested in evolution per se or biology. It's for the general public who have any interest in science and want to learn something a bit new. And as well, we have some fun stuff as well. We're going to have a Charles Darwin-themed birthday cake like we do every year. And there's some interactive things like for younger children, because one of our speakers is from the UNR Department of Psychology. He's giving a great talk called Seeing Through Illusion about optical illusions and how humans have evolved to see optical illusions and how we've evolved to almost be deceived by our own senses. So that's going to be very interactive. I'm really looking forward to that. So it's a day of education, but also of fun.
Ah, well said. How do we get a list of the talk titles and the day's events?
You can go to darwindayreno.com. The event is the 21st at the Discovery Museum. We're really trying to aim it towards kids this year by being at the Discovery Museum. And something I will also mention, we're actually going to have a falconry exhibit there. So we're going to have some live birds, maybe get some of the kids interested in that kind of thing. And as well, I'll mention we're also having a discussion or a lecture on the evolution of morality. So not only do we talk about biology and the cosmos, but we're talking about human interaction between each other socially. So we're trying to touch on all aspects of evolution.
I love it. How can people get more information about Reno Free Thinkers and what you guys are up to?
Yeah, renofreethinkers.org or .com. We're on Meetup as well. You can do a search there. And we're on Facebook. Just do a search on Facebook for Reno Free Thinkers. We got a couple groups there. But renofreethinkers.org, you can check us out there.
Perfect. And so this is something you could pop in for just one thing. You could hang out the whole day, fun for the whole family.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really great about Darwin Day this year is because we have it at the Discovery Museum, there is an admission fee, but there are some light drinks and some cookies that people get with that. But that not only gets you into Darwin Day, you have access to everything that's going on in the museum for the entire day. So even if you want to come to Darwin Day for one talk, maybe you know someone who's speaking or there's a topic that interests you, you can go in for that, leave, grab a slice of Darwin cake and go see one of the other cool exhibits. They've got a really cool exhibit on monsters of the deep right now, which is really cool. So even if you want to come for half an hour and go explore the rest of the museum for the whole day, that's absolutely cool.
Awesome. You guys are a great interview. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think that about covers it. We just hope everybody gets out there. It starts at noon. The doors open at noon. It ends at 5. We may have a discussion of the day's topics around 4 o'clock, 4:30, depending on how the lectures go. But we actually have about 5 or 6 people talking at like half an hour intervals. So there's something for everyone.
This is Sunday, February 21st.
Correct.
Yeah, Sunday, February 21st. And I got to say, I can't wait because every year it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's becoming more and more interactive. And when you see people in the audience, some are as young as 5 or 6, some are 60 or above. And their eyes light up when they see some of the examples we give of evolution and science and how it works. And because these young children especially, they're going to be the people in 30, 40 years who are in charge of scientific grants, scientific labs. So these are the scientists of the future. And you never know, it might be one of these kids who comes to Darwin Day, gets a little jazzed about biology. They could go on to be a professor someday. So that's why this is so important.
Your enthusiasm is fantastic. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Bernard. Thank you, Richard Evans. Anything else?
We're good. Thanks very much, Jessica.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. I'm your host, Jessica Levity, and with me on today's show, the president of the Reno Free Thinkers, it's Richard Evans. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Jessica.
So tell me, who are the Reno Free Thinkers?
Well, the Reno Free Thinkers are a group of people locally that are atheists, non-believers, skeptics. We choose to live our lives free of any supernatural beliefs.
Cool. So what is your involvement in the Reno Free Thinkers? You're president. How did you get involved in the group? What's your history and what do you love about it?
I actually started in 2009. It was just a real startup group back then. There were a couple young guys that put it together, and the guy that actually started out dropped the ball real quick. We went through a lot of changes from between 09 and 12, which is when we finally became a corporation, Nevada State Corporation. So, yeah, my involvement has been helping the group grow since its inception. And we created a board, a voting population through donations and that kind of thing. And in 2012, we started trying to really pull things together.
Now, it's the Reno Free Thinkers. Is Free Thinkers something that you can find all over the place, or is this totally something original to right here?
Oh, no. free thinking goes back to 18th century.
So there's like the Santa Cruz free thinkers.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yes. So this is
there's different free thinker groups all over the country.
Okay, cool. And this is how the Reno one started in 2009.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, how it started, I think just one guy got together, and when I first started going, there was maybe five or six people showing up down on the marketplace here on Sierra Street.
Yeah, cool.
And
now how many people are there?
You know, it's hard to say. We have 30, 35 people that are real involved. We have probably another 75 to 80 people that are in and out. But like on Meetup and on Facebook, we have a group that went up to 500 people.
That's
Meetup,
great.
Our Meetup's over 500 people as well. So we have a lot of people that come and go.
Right.
And
you reach a lot of people in the community. So what made you interested in joining this group?
I've been an atheist since I was 14 years old. I finally figured it out that I didn't have to believe in this stuff. And frankly, I remember it being very liberating. I remember having an epiphany on it on my bicycle.
That's great.
Flying down the road on my bicycle.
Which is such a symbol of true freedom, by the way. I'm a huge bicycle fan.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, I do remember the time when I finally thought in my head, and I had attended church up to third grade, but I remember that occurring to me. And from my younger days, I was a wedding photographer through all my life as a photographer. And I would attend weddings, and they'd do their thing, and I would just kind of, you know, not pay much attention to it and be as respectful as I could. I was a hired worker there. But it really was 9/11 that, in the minds of many people, changed this. And in 2005, a lot of the atheist movement really kicked up with books like Sam Harris's End of Faith and A Letter to a Christian Nation. And it was at that time where we had the bubble pop, okay, and my studio closed down at the Park Lane Mall. And I started paying a little more attention because of YouTube, okay? And it was these things that really started bringing this kind of stuff to our attention. I read a book called Good Without God by Brian Epstein. And I started going, my brother and I, we both started going to the
Unitarian Universalist. Okay. Did you like it there?
Did I like it there? I didn't dislike it.
Okay.
It didn't fit me well because they still would do things like stand up and sing, pardon me, flaky songs.
Yeah.
And I'm a rock and roller. I can't deal with that kind of stuff. And they would do things like worship, and I couldn't find the worshiping thing. But it was a group of really non-believers who were just kind of like caught in limbo between, in my opinion, between should we continue to find some reason to come together as a community, or should we need to release ourselves from this? But to me, it's like I just wanted to totally get away from that kind of thing.
So for some people there, it may have been exactly the medium that they were looking for.
It works really well for a lot of people, no doubt about that.
But in their limbo.
Yeah, I don't mean to disrespect it or anything like that. If it works for you, great. If I could get a bunch of atheists in a room to stand up and sing, I love singing.
Yeah.
I like playing guitar, although I don't consider myself a musician per se.
It's kind of a funny image, the idea of a room full of atheists singing in the style of a church.
Yeah, Steve Martin has a song, Atheists Have No Songs. It was, yeah.
Okay, so cool. So where were we on that track there? You're talking about, you went to the Unitarian Universalist for a while. Wasn't
right.
For you, still too kind of gooey.
Yeah, and my brother, he found Reno Freethinkers on Meetup. I had no idea what Meetup was back at the time. And that's when we started attending these meetings. From there on, it was just a slow progression. We do a lot of different. We enjoyed going out and talking to like-minded people, for starters.
Sounds like a religion.
You know, a lot of people like to consider it that way. But if we're a religion, then, you know, bald is a religion. It's like saying off on the TV is a religion. Or a channel. Off on the TV is a channel.
The music we play on the X is my religion, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are the Elks a religion? Are the Kiwanis Club a religion? You know, we're a club of people, and we're actually, what we have in common is the rejection of a claim of faith or gods. But that doesn't really make us a religion. But on the
it's
other,
more of a club.
On the other side of it, the Supreme Court has actually made the statement that free thinkers and atheist groups and the like are, can be classified legally as religions, so that we fall in line with the same type of laws and rules, so that if it applies to a religion, well, it's going to apply to us too.
Does that feel good?
It is important that it be looked at like that.
Okay.
We need to be able to, for instance, we're a 501c3.
Yeah, nonprofit organization.
Yeah, nonprofit. There's a lot of reasons that they religions have certain rights, and we fall into the same kind of a category, but on the opposite side of the fence.
Gotcha. So speaking of 501c3, where does your funding come from?
Most of it's been member donations, almost 100% of it. We have had a member in the past donate very generously to us. Being a 501c3 now, which is something that we just obtained in March,
okay,
we are hoping to be able to offer to some, you know, more well-to-do benefactors come in and help us along by, you know, maybe making a larger donation, so that we can go to the next step, and which one of them would be, I would love to get involved with doing a type of a conference type of a thing here in town. They're going on all over the country. Oklahoma Atheists, American Atheists, TAM, which is the amazing meeting by the James Randi Foundation. A lot of people don't know who James Randi is, but he's a musician. I'm sorry, a magician.
A magician.
A magician.
Okay.
And I would like to bring some type of a free thought event here to town and bring in speakers. I mean, it's a great town to do that kind of thing. And
yeah.
And we all know that. I've lived here 30 years and done all kinds of events, and there's golf and there's Lake Tahoe and there's all kinds of things. I think it'd be great to bring that type of a group into town on an annual basis.
So at this point, you don't go after any grant funding. It's all just donations.
Right. We have not gone into any grant funding. I would love looking into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people get involved in your organization? Do you guys have reoccurring events, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. We meet every month. You can contact us at renofreethinkers.org is our website. My email address is president@renofreethinkers.net. And you're welcome to come to meetings. We're on Meetup as well. Just type in Reno Freethinkers on Meetup. You'll find us.
Why do you think that this organization is important to our community?
And yeah, as far as if I was going to say that we're important to the community, there might be a little bit of hubris there in that I don't know how much we can offer to the community as a whole, being as small as we are.
Well, you create a safe space for like-minded
for individuals,
thinkers. Yeah.
For individuals, so yeah. So that is what I was going to say, is it's more about individuals at this point. Although we have done events where we have gotten out and we've, you know, donated coats to
good.
Gospel missions. We've done food bank drives. We've done river trash pickups. There are people in the group that really do want to focus more on that kind of a thing. We have a VP of philanthropy, for instance. He handles that kind of thing. We're getting ready to do a veterans guest house. We get together and we feed 30 or 40 people at the veterans guest house.
That's a great cause. Yeah. So besides who you just mentioned, are there any other nonprofit organizations or groups or clubs that you collaborate with?
Yeah. With the internet, there's a lot of groups online. It makes it really easy to contact people. So online, there's a lot of very close-knit groups. Matter of fact, one of the groups online is called Northern Nevada Secular Alliance, which actually previously to this was the Reno Free Thinkers. Now, the thing is that was set up as a closed group and it was open to people all across the world even. So we have people all across the country in this group online. And it got to 500 people, and we started feeling it wasn't really representative of the Reno Free Thinkers.
Mm.
So we started another Facebook group called the Reno Free Thinkers Open Community Group, which you can contact us there as well. And I'm trying to keep that just to local people.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Got to keep it local. So what type of person should come to this organization? Who out there might be listening that would be a great fit to come to one of your events?
Everyone's welcome. We even want to, if a devout believer comes in and wants to discuss things, we love that. We're looking for that. But say someone who is having doubts about their belief and has questions and they can't really talk to their family about it.
Yeah.
We want those people to come in and voice whatever it is they have, questions that they have. A lot of people that are in the group aren't so much into coming to the group just to bash God.
Right.
Okay. But it's more about helping people through that point of why they may be questioning how they're questioning. So there's a lot of different aspects of that.
Yeah.
Who's going to come into the group? But not to mention just the people who are devout, and I hate to use that word, devout atheists, devout non-believers, who just want to be, again, around like-minded people and have some discussion on, you know, science and maybe astronomy, and we're doing a lot of different things like that at our meetings.
So earlier when you said your group is defined kind of by this lack of belief in the supernatural, what is considered supernatural and what is not?
If the supernatural, for instance, let's say people consider God a supernatural deity, if God can reach in to the natural world and do miracles, then he's reaching into the natural world and manipulating the atoms and the energies of this world. So it's no longer a supernatural thing. It's something that, if you can reach in and do that, it's testable by science.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the difference is if they say God exists and he exists outside of space and time, well, existence...
Wait, how can something exist outside of space and time?
Exactly, because space and time require existence.
Who says that?
Oh, a lot of believers. That's what they'll say. Oh. They'll claim that God exists outside of space and time.
Hmm.
Okay? So if that's the case, then he's supernatural.
Okay.
And he requires space. I mean, there's a whole argument about how God created the universe.
Yeah.
But space and time didn't exist.
Okay, so more in the kind of Leibniz, Spinoza, you know, we won't get into that. Those are my favorite philosophers, by the way.
But I've heard of Leibniz, but I'm familiar with Spinoza, too. But
well, those two guys basically said that they just defined God, instead of existing outside of space and time, they just said that God is the infinite and expresses infinitely. So whatever is in existence is what they defined as God. So they sort of reverse definition,
well,
I think.
A pantheist view of God is not very harmful. And when I say harmful, I mean a deistic view of a God that is not interventionary, doesn't reach in and affect people's lives, has created the universe and has moved on and hasn't looked back. That is less harmful of a belief than a belief that says that God is going to help us cure our sick, dying child, and therefore we're not going to supply him with scientific medical help.
Okay, so you're talking about more of the belief in God that goes against science instead of
not
one that's integrated?
Not even goes against, but they count on their belief in God to help themselves in the real world more so than medical science. There's people out there like that.
So when you say supernatural, is something like the Fibonacci sequence or something, do you consider that?
I don't know the Fibonacci sequence.
Oh, you know, like how it shows up in nature, how all things grow in a spiral. And the patterns that show up, like sacred geometry, do you consider that supernatural?
No.
Okay.
No. If it's testable in nature, then absolutely not.
Okay.
No. There's logical, scientific reasons that things take place in nature. When they start talking about miracles, okay, everything from a statue forming a tear.
Okay.
There's got to be a logical reason that water appeared on this thing if that was the case. But, you know, you'd have to give me a specific miracle. But my point is that if the supernatural is reaching into the natural and manipulating the environment,
right,
then that should be testable by science, and we should be able to detect that. The supernatural, by definition, is something that science cannot detect.
Right. Okay. So those who say God is outside of themselves versus those who say God is within and all around, is that's more harmful?
It's all depends on how you how you're going to treat your belief.
Yeah. Okay.
For instance, Leviticus talks about gays being should be stoned.
Right.
That's harmful.
Now, yeah, it's not loving.
Our views of in our culture here in the country are so well formed, are so formed by Christian ideas, how we view our nudity.
Right.
It's Christian based.
Right.
It just goes on, and we don't even realize it.
I just listened to this Alan Watts talk. Do you know who Alan Watts is?
Yeah.
Incredible philosopher. Right. Absolutely. Such a major influence. And I just listened to a lecture of his yesterday to a group of psychoanalysts. Mm-hmm. Alan Watts said, the church is nothing other than a sexual license organization. Because everything else, he's like, you can be a horrible person. You can be against God, all of these things, and not get kicked out of the church. Mm-hmm. The only thing that will get you kicked out of the church is, sex.
Right.
And so that's all they are, is just a sexual policing organization.
Yeah. Sam Harris makes statements about how God views us, and that in this huge universe, he chooses this one small primate type life form. Lucky us.
Yeah.
And that, he cares about what we do in bed.
Yeah.
And who we're in bed with.
Yeah.
Christianity is so overwhelmingly concerned about our sex lives.
It's kind of creepy. It's
kind of very creepy. for myself, to say that there's a being that created us in this vast universe, and we're this tiny little speck, and these are the people that we care about,
yeah,
is just arrogance, exponential arrogance.
Yeah, there must be a role for it somewhere, I guess, in the history of the development of mankind and consciousness. How do you feel about, how do the Reno free thinkers feel about peoples who worship nature, maybe more so than a God outside of themselves? Is it still kind of rub you the wrong way?
The thing about free thinkers and atheists, and that we have a saying, trying to get free thinkers or atheists to agree on one thing is like herding cats.
Okay.
So I can't speak for everybody, but your question again was?
Groups of people who worship nature rather than a god outside of themselves.
Oh, like Wiccans.
Yeah, or just tribal or, something like that. The life and death cycle, more or less.
Yeah, my approach on... I want people to believe things for good reasons. For instance, if there is 1,000 truths to be known in the world, the wellness of humankind is at stake here, okay? If you have one truth out of 1,000, you're less likely to be able to get along and survive in this world. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you know 1,000... you're really well off. I mean, that to stay away from the edge of the cliff,
right,
for instance, and that you can't fly, and that the tiger's going to eat you. But if you only know one of these things, you're much worse off than if you know 999.
Only if you consider death to be worse off, I guess. I mean, that's an assumption you're making.
You have to make the assumption that this is the only life we know we have. We don't know there's an afterlife. We want to assume for comfort's sake there's an afterlife. Okay? We can't, if we knew that there was an afterlife scientifically, someone's winning a Nobel Prize.
Well, you said for comfort, but I don't necessarily think everyone would assume an afterlife made them comfortable. I think a lot of people would be more comfortable thinking there was nothing.
Oh, and those are referred to as nihilists,
right,
and that would be me, okay?
Shocking.
I think that when we pass away,
yeah,
we're done, in the same way when a moth passes away, it's done.
Okay.
The fact that we have a higher intelligent level, and we, again, this is an arrogant thing for humans to think, is that our intelligence is special. Well, we don't know what the scale of intelligence in the universe is. There could be beings out there in the universe that look at us like chimpanzees,
right.
Our intelligence level.
I mean, it's probably smarter to assume that.
Right.
Because you can't know. It's an epistemological thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do we know what we know?
Yeah, exactly.
But your question was, I was trying to get to something on that, was...
The people who worship the life and death cycle and...
Okay, right. I was going along the statement of how many truths there are.
Right, yeah.
It's more important to know as many true things as possible. When you believe something for bad reasons, you're putting yourself into a situation where you might not have the real answers. Mm. Me, I want to know what's true. What is actually true is important to me. I can't believe in things on faith alone. I mean, I can take some things on faith that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning.
Right.
Okay? Those are more like trust.
Yeah, well, and that's a lot of a priori knowledge, you know, versus posteriori, which is what you're experiencing.
It's more about trust. If you have some previous knowledge, which is what a priori knowledge is referring to, that the sun consistently comes up, then we can have good trust and faith that the sun's going to continue to come up. But to trust and have faith that there was a man named Jesus that was born to a virgin that was crucified on a cross and came back to life 3 days later, that is going well beyond the idea that there's a good reason to believe in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.